Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. God has always been troubled when people, especially His own people, have ignored His goodness toward man. Tragically, many of the Jews were not very grateful for His bringing them out of Egyptian bondage to the land flowing with milk and honey. In fact, they had hardly crossed the Red Sea when they began to complain that Moses had brought them into the wilderness to starve them to death. The psalmist explains, "Our fathers did not understand thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." Psalm 106, 7 and 21. When they finally crossed the Jordan River and entered the land of promise, they forgot the Lord's goodness and engaged in many of the immoral practices that were common among the heathen in the land of Canaan. Such behavior brought shame on the name of our God. By the time Isaiah came on the scene, the problem of insensitivity to God's goodness had gotten worse. The Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to tell the Israelites, "The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider." Isaiah 1:3. You know the Lord was not complimenting His people by telling them that oxen and donkeys, which are not known for their perception and intelligence, were more considerate of their masters and more grateful for their sustenance than were God's own children. God's goodness to Paul led him to tell the Romans, "I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." Romans 1, 14 and 15. Paul reminded the Roman Christians that judging others harshly for doing the same things we do does not please God. He asked them, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance?" Romans 2, 4. Later in the book of Romans, Paul contrasted God's goodness and God's severity. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off." Romans 11:22. Paul was constantly aware of God's goodness toward him. In his great chapter on the resurrection, he told the Corinthians, "For by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." 1 Corinthians 15:10. How could Paul have failed to be grateful to God when he realized all God had done for him in saving him and in giving him the opportunity to be a preacher and an apostle? The Israelites of Isaiah's day were insensitive to God's goodness, but not because they were unaware of His goodness. They had every reason to know and to understand what God had done for them. But their hearts were hardened because of sin. What a tragedy that the people who should have known God and been grateful to Him for what He had done for them were the very ones who were insensitive to His grace and mercy. What nation in modern times has been more blessed than the United States of America? Do we show our gratitude for His blessings by recognizing and honoring Him in our national life? Stephen Carter's 1993 best-selling book, The Culture of Disbelief, provides a scholarly answer to that question. One sentence from Carter's book tells us where we are in the United States. We are one of the most religious nations on earth, in the sense that we have a deeply religious citizenry. But we are also perhaps the most zealous in guarding our public institutions against explicit religious influences. Page 8. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.